Idly hey.
Welcome to another episode of The Brett Allen Show.
Prepare to be astonished.
A pop culture podcast. Join Brett weekly as he interviews your favorite celebrities from film, television,
I'm back in business, baby!
Comedy, and much more.
Inconceivable!
Plus, you never know who will stop by.
Dude, we are so gonna party!
Now, here is your host, Brett Allen.
Welcome into another episode of The Brett Allen Show, a pop culture podcast. Thank you for pressing play and joining in on today's conversation. We are going to be chatting with actor Julian Elijah Martinez, actor of film, television, Broadway, off-Broadway. This guy is he's a very busy individual, so we're appreciative of him taking time. We can't say what necessarily, but he just got off another project, and so look forward to that. But we are talking about Wu-Tang, An American Saga. And Julian's character that he plays is an iconic individual in this entire world of the Wu-Tang Clan. He plays Mitchell Divine Diggs. And if you know anything about Wu-Tang and their history, essentially, I don't know, it might be argued in some very small circles, but he's really responsible for getting them to where they are. And I think he's still involved with them today, correct?
Yeah. Divine is still part of Wu-Tang Productions. He still runs it. Him and RZA are still business partners as well. And you're absolutely right. So according to, depending on who you talk to, Divine says that original apartment that Wu-Tang used to record in was his apartment. Like, a lot of that equipment that he had was his equipment. Him and RZA were actually performing and rapping and making music together as kids. And Divine, as he got older, he started pivoting more towards the business side of things. But all that kind of equipment was his, along with RZA. So it actually ends up being a very kind of like mutual kind of thing between RZA and Divine in the creation of Wu-Tang.
Yeah. I mean, I would say historically, he's definitely one to be accredited for it. So I've watched you talk about this in other interviews. So I don't want to repeat what you've already talked about, but I am very curious because you did have the opportunity, from what I understand, to meet him initially when you found out who the character was and sort of, it's funny, like, it's great. I mean, I don't know. I've talked to people and I've had those aha moments where I'm like, really? That's interesting. Are you sure about that? And they're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I was the one that sort of elevated this entire thing. But you had a chance to hang out with him and sort of really get to know him as an individual and develop your character. So when you find out that you're playing Divine and sort of the history behind it, what is that initial conversation like when you two meet? Like, he seems like he would be a great guy, but also very intimidating because of his history of music and just all that he's accomplished, really, in his time.
Well, the wonderful thing about him is that he's very much an open book when you ask him, when you talk to him. He, for a long time in his career, and I'm speaking for him, so hopefully I'm not, you know, speaking out of turn, but for a lot of time in his career, my understanding, he purposely decided to stay in the background and allow the Wu-Tang. So, you know, he didn't do the Dame Dash thing. He didn't do some of the, like, the P. Diddy thing. He wasn't up front. He was always kind of in the back. And that was, a lot of that was by design. And then especially as Wu-Tang kind of continued, he then receded more and more and more until relatively recently, until the documentary that came out on Showtime and then until the TV show. And so, however, when you speak to him, there seems to be such a need to tell his story, to have his legacy kind of cemented. So when I initially contacted and reached out to him, he spoke very kind of open. Like, we sat there for almost two and a half hours both times we've spoken, and he just kind of let out all of his story and his side of things and how Wu-Tang kind of was created. So it feels a little intimidating at first, but the thing about Divine is that he's such an open person. He's such an open and available person. He's very personable. He's very grounded, despite like kind of the epicness of who he actually is, he's a very grounded individual. And so it's, every time I speak to him, it's a blessing.
Yeah, it's interesting that he made that choice to not really be so open and in the front of things, which I think is good because it allows the group to shine within their own right, but also eliminates any sort of problems that could arise then or in the future as far as like how much he was involved. But this is a great show, this anthology series that sort of takes us through the life of all these individual characters as they become who they are and to the group that everybody knows of, the Wu-Tang Clan, which is they have, I feel, have transcended pop culture. They're pioneers. They just are in this megaverse of musicians. And it's a great cast that you are a part of. There's a lot of amazing people in this particular show. This is in its second season, correct?
Yes.
And so now we're getting more of the additional story of kind of their iconic music history.
Yeah.
Now, you've been a part of a lot of projects in your career, but this, to me, would this be one that you would consider as an earmark as far as like, this is a big deal? Like, I mean, everything that you do is a big deal. Do you know, do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, is it, how do you feel? Like, what kind of space are you in when you are asked to portray such an iconic character and be a part of such, you know, a big project like this? It's huge because it's filmed like a movie, really.
Yeah,
it's very beautifully done as far as the aesthetics and the music. Obviously, you know, the scenery, it's all very, you know, like you're involved in that time frame.
Yeah. I mean, it's... It's a blessing. And yeah, this is one of the biggest, this is probably the biggest thing I've ever done. It has the most outreach. It has the most connection to folks. It has, it resonates in such kind of, like you said, kind of cross-cultural barriers. Like, will people reach out on Twitter from Russia, from Azerbaijan, from, you know, from Australia? Like, it's an, like, Wu-Tang is a global thing. However, for me, what's connecting me so much to this story is how it's just, it's a very individual story, and it's very much a story about family. And because it's very much a story about family, it becomes a very chiefly American story. And my family is from Staten Island. My mom's side of the family is from Staten Island. And so, you know, it's like looking at my cousins, it's like looking at my uncle, looking at my grandfather in a lot of ways, and watching their struggle. And so that for me has been kind of has helped me kind of buoy myself a little bit from getting kind of, because I think you can get kind of caught up in the sheer kind of magnitude of what Wu-Tang is. And luckily I'm not playing one of the rappers, so I don't have to rap, even though the brothers who rap on the show are doing an amazing job. I don't have to do that, so there's a little bit of pressure kind of taken off my back, you know, because I don't have to get there rapping.
That's funny. No, that's always great when you get to do a project and you don't have to sing. I was interviewing Lodrick Collins, who was in Respect, and he played Smokey Robinson, and I asked him, I said, did you have to sing? And he's like, thank God, no, I did not have to. He said, we left that up to J-Hud and, you know, everybody else. That was a part of the project. So he goes, I spare the audience that moment. But he said, watching it was just as equally intimidating because, you know, it's all sung live. You know, whether her children are in the film as well. So I digress. You also have a massive theater background, as we mentioned, Broadway, off-Broadway. Mm-hmm. In fact, we've had a lot of Broadway actors recently, so this is really big for us on the show.
Oh, wonderful.
You're the third so far, so I'm excited to get your perspective because, obviously, being in New York, that's the place to be, it seems, today for anything, whether it's television, film, music, comedy, Broadway, although, you know, it's just now coming back for forever and a day. That's what New York is known for. So your passion for acting started at a younger age, I understand correctly. And then you eventually, Broadway and all of that came later. But can you kind of walk us through, the listeners, a little bit of sort of about your journey as far as like what attracted you to it to begin with, and then sort of how that step came in to be a part of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, I use this reference on another interview that I did. I make a lot of video game references, so forgive me. Acting in theater has been kind of like that little blue fairy in Zelda that kind of points you in directions. So even when I'm wandering off into a, you know, down certain paths, theater and acting has always kind of pulled me. In high school, you know, I wasn't the best student, you know what I mean? Like I struggled like a lot of young Black men my age. And it was my theater teacher who really kind of pulled me out of that headspace. You know, my theater teacher became my advocate in a lot of ways. And that teacher pointed me into my undergrad, which was Elon University. And then the faculty there kind of helped cultivate me that way. And then I get out of undergrad and I'm kind of wandering through the United States, kind of figuring out what my next step is. And then from there, I on an impulse auditioned for grad school. And then I ended up going to Yale. So it ends up being this kind of like, no matter how lost I've gotten, no matter how low I seem to be, whether or not I'm like laying on my mom's couch, playing Skyrim, trying to figure out what's the next step in my life, to being in New York, you know, not being able to eat, like, you know, trying to figure that thing out. It's always been theater that has always kind of come up at the last minute to point me into a direction and a more positive direction. So I will continue to follow this kind of train and this kind of path as far as it takes me.
Yeah. And I think it's important. I highlight this in other interviews that it's two really different skill sets.
Yeah.
Being a stage actor and a film and television actor, it's not really the same. There are very two separate muscles, but to be able to get them to work together, it's like, you know, you can do Broadway and then go to television and you can use that muscle there. Mm-hmm. But to go from television to Broadway can be a bit of an abrupt change for some people if they don't have the experience, because you're going from, you know, being able to do multiple takes to this is it, you know, you rehearse and then you're live. And so, I mean, it's true. And then it's like, okay, you know, you're working without a net. So whatever happens that particular day or night, 8 shows a week, you're just going for it. So you also teach, which I think is great. Yeah. So you're giving back to young actors, men, women, different people.
Yeah.
And allowing those experiences that you've had to pour into other people's lives. Let's talk about that piece of your life, because I think that, I mean, all of this is phenomenal, but I love the fact when people are able to give back and take the elevator down that has brought them up and to show them the way, so to speak.
Yeah. So around the time of the George Floyd protest, I mean, I've taught pretty much all for a big ascendant point portion of my career. But it was around the time that the George Floyd protests happened that a partner of mine named Francesca McKenzie, a friend of mine, she came up with this idea of a teaching collective called Encompass Collective. And the idea behind that is that we'll teach global majority BIPOC students and try to give them an affordable way of acting training. And then another co-founder, she likes to say this, she was like, we were looking for something to try to, with everything that was kind of happening, like, what is our message? Like, how do we engage in community advocacy and yet do something that's different than what everyone else is doing? And what we realize is like the way that we're going to do that is by engaging directly with folks who need acting training. So that's currently what we do. We teach virtually. We have a connection with La Mama right now. So I'm about to step into a acting one class next week where I'm going to be teaching about 6 students. So that's very exciting. I'm a little nervous about it to be honest, because I haven't been in a classroom personally with people in a long time. But you know, like I said before, it was that one acting teacher that saved my life. And so I have to kind of give back, you know, it's just the way theater is pulling me in a direction. Teaching has always pulled me in a direction too. And so I feel like I owe it to that person to always try to step into a classroom whenever I can.
Amazing. And we will link that along with all the other things that we have talked about in our show notes. We're talking Wu-Tang. Julian Elijah Martinez plays an iconic character, Divine, with a fantastic surrounding cast. This is exclusively streaming on Hulu, right? But people can, I think it's on iTunes as well, actually. I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
Don't quote me at that or come after me, please. But it's available easily for people to access. It's a great show. You have one season that you can binge, and then season two, there's new episodes coming out weekly, and it's just a phenomenal show. And very exciting to be a part of entertainment right now, because it's just an influx of content that we can consume.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's just fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. There's just a gluttony of choices, you know, and it's... And sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. So, but we are in a very, we're in a golden age in terms of like just content right now.
We are. And this is a great show to watch along with all the other projects that he has been a part of, and some more amazing things coming down the pike.
Yeah.
Julian, thanks for joining us today. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Bert. It's a pleasure. And, you know, good luck to everybody. And thank you so much for listening, and hope that you watch Wu-Tang.
That brings today's show to a close.
Doodly-doo.
Thanks for stopping by. If you enjoyed the episode, feel free to share it with a friend and subscribe. It's absolutely free. The views and opinions of the guests do not necessarily reflect those of the host.
Autobots, roll out.
Go home.